Shall we go ahead and call the meeting to order? So, we'll start off with a roll call. Board member.
Commissioner Von Schaven is absent. Mr. Felix is absent. Mr. Winter?
Here.
Commissioner Nadi?
Here.
Commissioner Galvin?
Here. We have a quorum, barely. Okay, well, why don't we start with the approval of the agenda. Well, let me ask first, did we cover all of the public notice requirements for the meeting?
Yes, sir.
The first off is approval of the agenda. Ted, we talked a little bit about moving some things around with the limited coverage that we've got here. Could you go through recommended changes?
You bet, Chair. The management would recommend dropping new business number B, management guidelines for pending loan applications, and postponing that to the next meeting.
Okay.
We would also recommend postponing the executive sessions until we have a full board. So we would recommend doing that sessions in our next meeting. And we would also recommend dropping F, implementation of the strategic plan, and moving that to July 13th also, when we would have a full board. And those are the changes that we're recommending.
And from the draft agenda that we were given, it sounds like you're saying that the next meeting is going to be July 13th?
Yes.
So item 9B would need to be altered to reflect that as well?
Yes.
Okay. And that's going to be Tuesday, July 13th. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
I move to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Okay, any discussion, any questions on the amended agenda? Okay, any objection to approval of the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda as amended is approved. Next up is the roll call for, let's start with Ada Snap.
Sharon Severson, Ada.
Chris Anderson, Ada.
Jim Hemsath, Ada.
Valerie Walker, Ada.
Sarah Fisher Goad, Ada.
Ted Leonard, Ada.
Karsten Rudvik, Ada.
Chris Rutz, Ada.
Mike Ketsey, Ada.
Steve Ames from the
80s. Jim Hemsath, Ada. Ada. Oh, sorry. Ada.
Mark Gardner, Western Financial Group.
Okay. Are there any members of the public there for roll call?
Brian Bjorkquist, Department of Law.
Stacy Tomorrow, First National Bank, Alaska.
Ken Ferguson, Northern Bank.
And Mr. Bruce Weiner is on the phone.
Correct. Okay. Are there any members of the public that wish to address the board?
No, there are not.
Okay. Next item is approval of the minutes from March 17th meeting. They're in your packet. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Are there any amendments or modifications that need to be made to the minutes? Hearing none. Is there an objection to approval of the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes for March 17th are approved. So Ted, the agenda shows no old business. Is that correct?
Yes, Chair.
Okay, so why don't we move to new business roads and loans, resolution number L10-04.
have a loan participation request from First National Bank Alaska before the board that requests Avis participation of a $5,400,000 and a total loan of $6 million to B&L Motels for long-term financing for a newly constructed hotel. And I'd have Chris go over the loan for the board.
Thank you, Ted, and the chair. As Ted indicated, this is a request of ADA in the amount of $5,400,000. We have co-borrowers of Gregory, you must go by Bruce, Wheeler, and Linda Wheeler. The use of proceeds is to refinance a newly constructed hotel that currently employs 35 people. This hotel is a 75-room comfort suite. It's located off the Frontage Road close to International Airport. It was appraised in March of this year for $10,150,000. Has a 59% loan-to-value. The appraisal projects a debt service coverage at 1.85 to 1 on a stabilized basis in year 2 with a 78% occupancy level, $115 average daily room rate. In regards to the break-even point for this loan, you could get down to a 65% occupancy, $77 a day daily room rate. So there is room in this particular request for market fluctuations. The Wheelers are 100% shareholders in B&L. It's an S corporation that was began in 1992 in Kansas. They own and operate 8 hotels in Kansas, Washington, Arizona, Colorado, and in Alaska. This is the 11th hotel that they have constructed and owned since 1991. Site work was completed in 07. The hotel was begun in April of 08 and opened for business in March of 09. Total project cost of construction was, in rounded terms, $9.5 million plus, and lenders are currently financing 63% of the cost. The loan proceeds for this current loan would pay off the Kansas Bank construction to perm loan plus fees and costs. ADA currently has 23.29% of the statewide portfolio in the hotel-motel industry. With this loan request, that would increase to 24.35%. If you look at just the Anchorage region, we are currently at 14.09%. That would increase to 16.09%. As recommended items to this loan, one would be a payment reserve account. In the amount of $200,000, the account would be maintained until EBITDA services the hotel debt 1.35 to 1 for 2 consecutive years, provided that the hotel retains its national chain status, and if not, that would increase to 1.40 to 1. Additionally, we would require a replacement reserve fund where they would place funds into a replacement reserve at $5,000 per month for the replacement of FF&E, furniture, fixtures, and equipment, structural components to the physical property up to a total dollar amount of $500,000. I know that I know there is generalized concern over the hotel industry in general. I did ask Mark Moen to give us an update from the time of his hotel study in 08 to current. That did just come in. You don't have it in your packets because we just received it. So I did read through it. We can give this to you or go through it in the July board meeting. But just to pull a couple of things out of here because of this request today, Mike says in here that the market occupancy in Anchorage declined about 8% during 09, and the daily room rate declined from $127 per day to $119 per day. He gives a lot of statistics, backup statistics. There were 3 new hotels that opened in 09, this being one of them. In his opinion, these new hotels that just opened up are probably going to be the last that you will see for a while in new construction. His projections for occupancy are 64% in 2010. Following years in the low to mid 70s, a 70 percentile level by the end of his projection period. He feels that the Anchorage lodging market has performed very well despite the battering that everyone had in 09. He says the unfortunate timing and combination of significant recessionary influences, changes in cruise patterns, continued expansion in the room supply have collectively caused what he considers a short-term interruption in the market's general stable patterns, occupancy patterns. He expects the lodging market to rebound relatively quickly to previous levels. So overall, the fundamental factors that have sustained the Anchorage lodging market over the last decade have not materially changed in recent years, and future continues to hold the promise of significant opportunities that can enhance performance within the market. And I'd like you, you know, board members to read this report, and we will get that to you for the next board meeting. We do have Mr. Wheeler on the phone, and we do also have Ms. National here if there are any comments or questions on this request.
Well, board members, are there any questions for Chris?
No. I have some comments, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
This loan here is the first one I've seen, I think, in about 6 years that I've been on the board, to come from an out-of-state resident. And it's nothing against the borrower or the deal. The deal is good. It's good loan to value. It's a nice hotel. But I have a little trouble with my non-residents coming here, applying for a loan. I realize he has a construction loan already in Kansas, and maybe a long-term loan. I don't know that.
I think that that particular loan, yes, but it has a 5-year adjust. I think it's an 8.25%
Yeah. So I've anguished over this. I've researched it all. I'm convinced the loan's a good loan. But we have, like Chris said, now 24.35% of our loans is in the hotel business. And at some point, we reach a saturation factor in that industry. And my concern is that possibly this loan could take place if a resident came along and wanted to get money into a hotel business, that it puts us further up the line in the amount of loans we have in a hotel. So that bothers me that we're looking at somebody that doesn't have roots in the state here and came up and built a hotel and then has local management. I appreciate the jobs, appreciate the business, but I just like to most voice my concerns on that. And so we're a public entity and we're financing an out-of-state resident that's just here for the business. That's the end of my comments.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a comment?
Let's just make sure that, so Emil, did you have any comment on?
Go ahead,
Bruce.
Well, number one, I'm Bruce Weiler, and I can tell you, I built the hotel myself. I was in Alaska. This is how much I love Alaska. I was stationed in Vietnam. Before I ever went to Vietnam, I came to Alaska. I fell in love with Alaska in 1972. I served 2 years in the service. I got out of Vietnam with the Bronze Star in combat. I came back to Alaska. I worked in Alaska when I got out of the Army. I fell in love with Alaska. I always told my wife, you know, I always, you know, wanted to do some business in Alaska. I got started through the SBA, through Ronald Reagan, gave me my start. I worked my way through college. And basically, I have a degree in marketing, but I started out with nothing. I built my company up, and I built the hotel. To give you an example, I built the hotel. I lived in Anchorage for 2 years. My wife and I spent the entire summer in Anchorage. We're coming up June, July, and August. I employ 414 people, and basically, we're going to live there this summer. I mean, I'm a hands-on operator. I build every one of my hotels. My dad said, son, you can't do this world naked. That's how you get on out. I am
not an absentee owner. I come up there every single month when I'm in Anchorage. I'm not like a great big hotel chain. I've been working on this for 19 months, and basically I am under construction loan, and the people in Kansas, they basically, it's a bank in Kansas, it's been, you know, it's out of state, and they really don't want the loan. And basically, I believe in, for example, the last 2 months, my business has been up, you know, it's been doubled. We're the new kid on the block. My wife and I, we lived there for 2 years. I'm coming up June 1st. I'm going to spend the entire summer there. My entire family, you know, I have a home personal suite in a hotel, and I travel. I have 11 hotels. But basically, Anchorage is the one I love, always wanted, like I told the First National Bank 19 months ago. You know, I started on this project because I believed in Alaska. I've always wanted Alaska. I worked in Alaska when I got out of the Army. I worked here, and I went back home because my dad was sick. My dad passed away. I built my business up all over Washington. Basically, I stay a lot of time in Alaska. I employ lots of people. Basically, I have 35 people working for me in Alaska. I'm there probably more than any other owner with any hotel that's from out of state. You got owners from Denver. You got owners from all over the place. I lived there for 2 years solid. I'm living up there all summer long. Every summer, my wife and I come up there, and we visit. We bring people in from all over the place. And I really enjoy Alaska. It's not like I don't like Alaska. I'm here more in Alaska than any hotel I own. I go there once a month. I'm there. I spend money. I employ people. My son came up there. My daughter came up there. And basically, I've got my next door neighbor that went to school at the University of, you know, in Alaska. He's in Anchorage. He's an exchange student. It's not like I'm an absentee owner. I'm not like some of these hotel chains like Mr. Marriott. I'm not like that. I'm just a, you know, we're a family business. And we truly love Alaska. I mean, I really love Alaska. If I ever had to move anywhere, my mom's 88 years old, and I take care of my mother. That's one of the reasons why I'm still living in Kansas. My wife and I, the trustee of her trust. That's one of the reasons why I'm not living in Alaska. I can guarantee you this. I will live there all summer long. You can come in my hotel any day of the week. 7 days a week, and I will be there this summer. And our business, we do most of our business in the summer. And yes, I live in Kansas, but I'm also a Vietnam veteran. Yes, sir. I was stationed from Oakland Air Force Base. I went from there. I went to Anchorage, Alaska, before I went to Vietnam. And when I came back from Vietnam, I was in Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you.
Anchorage.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler.
Yes.
So, Emil, do you have any comments or questions, or John, do you have any follow-up?
Well, I agree with John's remarks about our percentage of the market in Anchorage or percentage of our investment in hotel business in Anchorage. I would be not inclined to vote on more hotels.
For the chair, one of the things that we are going to bring up in our strategic plan as we talk about the loan portfolio is how the mixture of the portfolio can be, because there's more than just hotels. We're looking at the segment of the industry called tourism as that market, and that is definitely going to be one of the key things we're going to talk about in the implementation of the strategic plan in light of the loan portfolio. So that will be discussed in July, and I think we'll have some good insight for the board at that time.
Okay, next step. And I guess my two comments, one is with regard to the hotel, the amount of our portfolio in the hotels, I am concerned about that. However, I've commented before that on this particular program, we are a passive participant. We get what comes through the door, and it's not as though we have cherry-picked out of a suite of applications and chosen this path, these are the ones that are coming to us for whatever reason. And so I think that in some regards, what I appreciate about Ted's comment is that we are going to try to be a bit more active in trying to generate some of the loans out of other areas as well and try to start to target some areas. But up to now, we haven't really done that. My second comment, just John, I appreciate your concern with regard to the in-state focus. But when I look at our responsibilities, it goes towards economic development in the state and creating jobs in the state. And I don't think anybody can dispute the fact that building the hotel that hires people is economic development in this state, hiring jobs in this state. Where the particular owners reside isn't the critical issue associated with generating that economic impact. So I'm very sympathetic to it, but I think we're fulfilling our mission by pursuing this type of a project. Are there any final comments before we act on this?
I'd like to know, since you brought it up about the local hire on construction.
Currently in that program, I guess, Chris, is that in statute, Brian, please correct me if I'm wrong, there is nothing that states anything in regards to local hire. That we're taking out long-term financing. I mean, again, as we look through our strategic plan, if there's criteria that the board would want, we can look at it at that point in time.
Well, the issue with local hire is going to be a constitutional issue,
right,
that has limitations. But by local hire, is anybody who works at the hotel in order to be working on a day-to-day basis is going to be in Alaska.
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, to follow up on Emil's question, were you talking about, when you said local construction, the construction of the hotel?
Yeah.
And was it local or not a state?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if that was
the construction of the hotel, everybody that worked up there, 99%.
Mr. Wheeler, could you hold on? Please don't. The question wasn't directed to you.
I'm sorry.
So, John, who were you directing your question to?
Timo, just to clarify his question, I was clarifying that his question was concerning the construction of the hotel, whether it was by locals or by non-residents. And Emil shook his head, yes, that's the question he wanted answered.
Okay, so, Mr. Wheeler, if you could just very briefly comment on the construction hire.
Yes, I can. 99% of the people, for example, the Dirt People DC excavations, their contract was $1 million. I used local plumbers, I used local electricians, I used local sheetrock people, I used local roofers, I used local concrete people, I bought all the concrete. 99% of the entire job was done local. And I can give names of all the local people. I got probably 200 different contractors from Freddie Lights, the electricians, they all were local.
Thank you.
Except my personal staff. I hired more local people, and every single one of them, I worked right with them day to day.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler.
Yes.
Any last comments? Okay, is there a motion regarding resolution? Follow my resolution. Resolution L10-06.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Okay. Can we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Montavon is absent. Mr. Felix is absent. Commissioner Naughty?
Yes.
Mr. Winter?
No.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes. Do we have, is Brian there?
I am here, and I am quickly looking at what the consequence of that vote is.
Mr. Chairman, I would request reconsideration at the next board meeting when we have a full board.
Let me hold off on that. Let me just understand where we are procedurally. So, Brian, what are you looking up right now?
I'm trying to, yes, Mr. Chairman. I believe the answer is that a quorum has to vote in favor, and so the motion has failed, but I am trying to find where that is located. Mr. Chairman, I am not finding it quickly.
Okay.
Consideration to be by a simple majority.
Well, why don't we do this? While Brian's researching that, the action was taken. We voted on the motion to approve the resolution. The vote is what it is. As far as what the outcome of that will be, Brian will advise us shortly. So why don't we continue to move through the agenda, and Brian will advise us once he's identified that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So next up, Ted, is the resolution G1003, adoption of amendments to the ADA regs.
Yes, Chair. And it is dealing with 3 AAC 99906, curtailment of originator of financial institution eligibility. We have been going through a process of looking through our statutes and recommending changes, and we have also started the process of looking through our regulations and identifying regulations that we believe need to be changed to increase the effectiveness of our loan participation program. And currently we have sort of a two-tier section, whereas up to 2% we will allow full institution participation, and between 2 and 5% of the default range, we now will only allow a 75% between 2 and 3.5, and from 3.5 to 5%, a 65% participation. And we believe that as we did the analysis of this regulation, that a one-tier approach would work, that if a loan portfolio, if they have 5%, in a default status, then they cannot participate in our program. And I'd have Chris fairly quickly go over this regulation change and answer any questions put forward.
Thank you, Ted. This memorandum is straightforward in that regard, and Ted's kind of given you an overview. This proposed regulation change would simply return the regulation to a single cutoff point using a 5% delinquency rate, after which the authority would just continue purchasing participation loans or guarantees from a financial institution it's a easy set calculation. The new proposed regulation will permit the authority to continue to accept new good business from financial institutions. The proposed regulation arises out of an earlier version that ADA prepared and put out for public comment. This first revised version of the regulation provided a 5% cutoff figure, but it did exclude from that calculation any non-performing loans, such as those in forbearance or foreclosure or bankruptcy. The staff did have a public hearing. There were no comments at the public hearing. There were two written comments that have been included here. One was from Mr. Joe Beadle at Northrim. The other was from Dave Lauer at First National Bank of Alaska. He's president of the ABA as well as an attorney for that firm. After the decision was made to further revise the regulation to the straightforward 5% cutoff, staff again contacted all of the interested parties who had made comments. Staff was informed that the interested parties also supported this regulatory change using a 5% cutoff. And so this is in front of you for approval. Resolution G10.
Thanks, Chris. And then I'm sorry, I don't know if you mentioned it, but could you comment on if this reg was adopted, have our financial advisors commented on any impact it might have on our credit rating or loan ability?
Have not asked that specific question, but I don't believe that it would impact the rating.
We have a financial advisor with us, and he's saying no, Commissioner. And our analysis has been that it won't affect our default rating. So that in and of itself, I believe, would probably ensure, as far as we know, that it wouldn't affect our bond rating. Or
because we still got a 5% cutoff. I mean, that stays intact.
And it won't affect our overall default rating.
Okay. Any comment or questions for Chris or Ted, John or Emil?
Nope.
Okay. Is there a motion regarding resolution G10-03?
Mr. Chairman, I so move for the adoption of resolution G10-03.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. Can we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Felix and Commissioner Von Schaven are absent. Mr. Winther?
Yes.
Commissioner Nottie?
Yes.
Commissioner Dowman?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. Next up on the agenda is resolution G09-01A. This is dealing with the amendment to the billing maintenance. I believe it's in your packet behind tab 8D, as in David.
Correct.
Yes, I have that, but mine just says 01, not 01A.
There's two, actually.
Oh, okay, I see.
Okay,
this is one
of the acronyms. So it's not behind the blue sheet.
Okay.
Okay. Very quickly, the amendment to the building maintenance resolution G0901, we're requesting an increase in the amount of $1,140,000, which would mean we'd go from $500,000 in the original resolution to $1,640,000. So far, a total of $140,000 of the original $500,000 has been spent or committed. And in the memorandum, we give you the reasons why we
based this request on the evaluation of our space needs and also the cost of different alternatives available to meet those needs. And management is recommending that based on those alternatives that renovation of our current building is the best route to go. And with the chair's permission, I have Sarah and Chris, and they could very quickly go through this memorandum and our recommendations.
Okay. Yeah, if you do it quickly, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sarah Fisher-Gode, and Chris Rupp is also joining us at the table. I just want to quickly add to what Ted had provided to you, just to give you a perspective on our growth in staffing levels. In FY 2001, we had 61 positions, and in FY 2010, we had 73 positions, and currently 72 of those full-time positions are filled. And we do expect with some legislation that's expected to be signed to also increase by another three positions. And as we've grown through the years and projects and programs have increased, we've realized that this building, not only do we need to maximize our space, both public and offices, we also need to do some rearranging so work groups can actually be located next to each other. Right now we have some folks spread all over the place, and both on ADA and AEA side. So this would be a way to also reorganize and get working groups to be co-located to work more efficiently. So if that's quick enough, we'd be happy to answer any questions if the board has any.
That was good. Emo or John, do you have any questions for Sarah or Chris?
Not I. No.
Okay. Well, is there a motion regarding resolution GE-09-01A?
I'll move resolution G09-01A.
I second.
Okay, can we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Von Schaven and Mr. Felix are absent. Mr. Winther?
Yes.
Commissioner Nadi?
Yes.
Commissioner Galvin?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. So, any word from Brian on our...
Mr. Chairman? I did not see the language that I was looking for in the statute, so I think the answer is going to be that the board has a quorum, a majority of the quorum can transact business so that the resolution will pass, but I want to have an opportunity to just go back and look at the law related to conduct of a board to make sure that that conclusion is correct. And the consequence of that would be that the resolution would have passed.
Okay, so if the resolution passes, fine, we'll move on. If the resolution did not pass and we adjourn the meeting, are we able to then bring the resolution back up again at our next meeting?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
So where does the question of asking for reconsideration stand then? That's what Mr. Nadi asked for, was for reconsideration.
So how does... So, Brian, just... Tell me, as a board, do we actually have a reconsideration process, or would it have to be a rescission of the vote?
I think it would be in Robert's Rules of Order someplace.
Mr. Chairman, by statute, there is not a reconsideration process set up, and I don't have the regulations in front of me. My suggestion is that Commissioner Nadi rescind his reconsideration request. We can take up a new resolution anew if my legal research comes to a different conclusion. That way, at least at the board level, it's clear. The only reconsideration that the statute provides that is that if there is a tie vote, the matter goes to the governor.
Okay. Emo, are you willing to withdraw your request for reconsideration?
I'll do it, provided we can take it up with a full board.
Yeah, what will happen is, let me ask you this. Here's my understanding of the situation. If we do nothing at this point, it is likely that the board's action will be considered final to have approved the loan resolution.
And it will not come back up again. If Brian discovers that a majority or a quorum of the board needs to approve the loan application, then we will consider to have failed it at this time, and the resolution can come up again at the next meeting before the board that's present at that time. The question then is, given the possibility that absent any further action, the board will have been considered to have approved this loan, is it your desire to rescind that vote for the time being and then have the board consider bringing the resolution back up at a future meeting?
Commissioner, could I say something on this?
Okay.
Just again, I'd like to stress that I think management thinks that this is a good loan based on its criteria, and the overall question of Alaskan residents and portfolio, we definitely can bring that up in new business at the next meeting.
Okay.
That's one suggestion.
So, Emil, I think that the question I have for you, and I'm sorry that we're not there together, but my question to you is, was your request because you want to ensure that this loan issue comes up at the next meeting? Because if we do nothing at this point, it is, according to Brian's understanding at this point, it is likely that the board's action will be considered final for passage.
Yeah, I won't take him. Assistant,
if you rescinded your vote, it would be a tie vote. Yeah, it would pass.
No, John, that's not true. The question would be, he would have to make a motion to rescind the original vote, and we would vote on the motion to rescind, which would then bring the resolution back before us, and at that point, they can make a motion to table it for their next meeting. But you have to first act to rescind the vote that appears to have passed the resolution.
I don't think I'll do that. I think I'll let it stand.
Okay. So,
I don't understand it either, Mr. Chairman.
The issue is that we had, of the five members of the board, three are present, which constitutes a quorum. On the vote for the resolution, it was two yeas, one nay. The legal question is whether a vote of two of the three members constitutes sufficient approving votes to approve the resolution, or whether a resolution of this nature needs to get at least three positive votes in order to consider to have passed. We're not sure on that legally at this point. We believe, according to preliminary legal advice, that a majority of the quorum can approve a resolution, and that would mean that two out of the three were sufficient to constitute approval, ADA approval of the resolution. But that's going to have to be researched to confirm that. And if it proves to be the case, then the board will have been considered to have approved the loan. If it proves to be insufficient, then the matter would have to be brought back before the board again to see if it would get the necessary votes.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Chairman. If it comes back on July 13th, can you guarantee there will be five people there? What happens if there's only three people there?
So we will vote again.
Yeah.
That's the issue. Okay, so
given that there's no other action before the board on that.
Mr. Chairman, just to make it real clear, there is no motion for reconsideration outstanding at this point, and I just want that clear. That's my understanding of the circumstance. And if there was a motion for reconsideration, I think the board would have to take it up at this meeting. It couldn't carry over to a future meeting, just so that's clear also.
Yes, but the motion to reconsider was withdrawn. There is no motion currently pending with regard to resolution L10-06. The vote was 2 in favor, 1 against, and that's where we stand.
Mr. Chairman, I would rather have it like that because I've been working on this for 19 months.
Okay, Mr. Thank you. We're going to move on.
Mr. Chairman.
Ted, are you, do you have any comments that you want to provide at this time?
Yeah, Pat? I'd like Brian to research the reconsideration thing just for our, so we know what course of action, if it ever comes up again. Because my understanding is the prevailing side can request reconsideration.
For legal advice, Brian, if you could bring that information back to the board at the next meeting.
I will do so. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Pat, I have one question. So we don't operate under Robert's Rules of Order?
We do, except where they are superseded by a statute that governs our action.
Okay, if there is nothing that governs that action, by Emo asking for a reconsider in the next meeting, that should stand, shouldn't it?
Brian's legal advice is that there is no, that under the state statute, it does not allow for reconsideration of our actions.
Mr. Chairman, in addition to that, we clarified that the motion for reconsideration was withdrawn, so it is not on the table. And so, you know, even if I will research the issue of reconsideration, but it's not an issue with respect to resolution L10-06 because it's been withdrawn.
I have a question. If it's a matter of law, is it prohibited? Or if it's the law silent on it, where do we go for advice?
Mr. Chairman, that's the issue that I will be researching, or at least part of it.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask for reconsideration?
I think that you can ask. I think my belief is that the proper action would be for you to ask to rescind the vote on the resolution.
Mr. Chairman, Let me just get ourselves tied up any more knots.
Brian, do you concur with that?
I concur with that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So, John, I'm sorry. You wanted to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move to rescind the votes on the resolution number, whatever it is.
L10-06?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second for the motion to rescind?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. Can we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Hewlett and Commissioner Rutshaven are absent. Mr. Winsor?
Yes.
Commissioner Nadi?
Yes.
Commissioner Yavin?
No. Okay. So, what we have now is we have rescinded the action approving resolution L10-06. So it brings the matter back before us. Is there a motion regarding resolution L10-06? Is there a motion to table L10-06?
I'll move the table till the next meeting.
Okay. There's a motion to table. Okay. Is there any opposition to tabling L10-06? Okay. Hearing none, we'll table it for our next meeting.
Brian, are you comfortable with the process that we just went through?
I am, but I will also share that there is a regulation that provides for appeals. An originator of a loan who has submitted an application for a loan which is not approved by authority may appeal that decision to the board by filing a written notice of appeal within not later than 10 working days. And if that appeal were to be filed, the board will have to issue its decision on the appeal within 45 working days. So that is an issue that may come up. And when I have an opportunity to do further research, I may have other comments about the process. But I just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay, well, Brian, just not to tie ourselves in legal knots, is that opportunity to appeal available to a loan originator or loan applicant if the board rejects their loan, which we have not done on this loan yet? All well, we have done is table the resolution on it.
And what it has said is, which is not approved by the authority. And this action of tabling it is, it hasn't been approved, so that's a potential.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so moving on to director comments. Ted?
We actually have none at this point in time. Just very quickly, we have the reports on loan activities, our updates, and also just want to quickly note that there is a christening of the MV Susitna in Ketchikan on July 11th.
June
11th.
Yes, yeah.
And we have copies of that and invitations to all the board. And then again, okay. Our proposed next meeting would be July 13th. And that's all I have for it, Eric Chair.
Okay. Board comments.
I'm here.
Okay, John?
Nope.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Any objection? Okay, we're adjourned.
Thank you, board.